KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 13 degrees. We look for it to be mostly cloudy today with light snow, less than 1 inch expected, a high around 18. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. As a deep freeze sets in across half the country, officials are urging people to help those most vulnerable, especially the homeless and the elderly. Forecasters are warning people to be wary of hypothermia and frostbite from the Arctic blast that's gripping a large swath from the Midwest to the Northeast. The prolonged dangerous cold weather has sent advocates for the homeless scrambling to get people off the streets and bring in extra beds for them. Health officials say older people are at increased risk from such severe cold, from medication side effects to falling risks. And they encourage people to check on family members, friends, and neighbors. Animal advocates are urging people to remember their pets and not to leave them outside. A SkyWest flight from Iowa to Detroit made an emergency landing in Milwaukee after a sudden loss of cabin pressure. SkyWest spokeswoman Marissa Snow tells the Journal Sentinel of Milwaukee that the plane with 38 passengers and three crew members on board landed safely at around 8 a.m. Thursday. She said a female passenger received treatment at a hospital because of pain in the air, but later resumed her travels. The flight left from Cedar Rapids at around 7 a.m. Snow says the passengers continued their trip on a different plane, while mechanical crews investigated what caused the loss in cabin pressure. The FAA is also investigating. Officials of the Danish windmill in Elkhorn are happy to report the late Christmas Eve a visitor from afar left a package at the Danish windmill. Instead of Santa, it was an historic millwright, Bill Hassett from Louisville, Kentucky, who delivered the windmill's long-awaited new white oak windshaft. The windshaft is one of the components of the historic restoration project underway at the nearly 200-year-old windmill, so it can return to being a functional working windmill. It also includes replacing the timbers for sail arms, repairing the brake wheel and fantail, and replacing the friction drive pulley for the sack hoist. The old windshaft had been repaired and patched to critical areas over the past many years. Knowing that it someday would be needed, the windmill had purchased a white oak timber that Ben has been storing for several years, and when the inspection showed rot and decay present in the sails as well as the windshaft, it was deemed time to replace them both as well as to make other repairs. In May of 2016, the Danish Mill Board of Directors launched an appeal to raise $200,000 to fund the major restoration project, which includes the millwright's estimate of $146,700 and an additional $50,000 as a contingency fund. Thanks to individual and corporate donations, grants, fundraisers, and with the major gift from the Mike and Lou Howard Foundation, the project is fully funded. Late last December, Hassett came to Elkhorn for a week to dismantle and remove the sails and secure the cap frame for winter. Removal of the sails, which are nearly 67 feet tip-to-tip, was the urgent concern in order to avoid structural collapse because of the condition and weight of the timbers posed a safety risk to both persons and property. Since then, Hassett has constructed the new gears and windshaft at his workshop in Kentucky by using the original parts as a pattern the way the craftsman did when the mill was built in 1848. The new 67-foot-long sail timbers arrived from Oregon in the summer of 2016 and have been drying since then, but they need more time to reach an air-dried moisture content before being tapered into the final form. With all the components ready to go, the plan had been to install the windshaft this week prior to the arrival of the new 67-foot sails, but due to the extreme cold of the forecast and the safety of the volunteers, carpenters, and equipment, the decision was made to postpone that action until March. And the original restoration is a major milestone in the life of the 1848 windmill. The sails that are being replaced were installed as new when the mill came to Elkhorn 41 years ago. The windshaft, brake wheel, and other parts date back to when it was in Denmark. Windmills are very complicated pieces of machinery, and since the mill in Elkhorn is close to being 200 years old, a millwright with expertise in historic restoration and preservation was needed to get it turning again. Ben Hassett, who's the owner of B.E. Hassett Millwrights Incorporated, has extensive knowledge of mills and completed many historic mill restorations across the country. He worked on the Elkhorn Mill as an apprentice to Derek Ogden, the world-renowned millwright that did the initial maintenance plan, blueprints, and rebuilt the mill's cap frame in 1995. Officials say the major overhaul will restore the mill's structural integrity. It'll still be an old mill and require ongoing care, but the investment in restoration and preservation being made today will help to ensure its future well-being for many years to come, and they look forward to seeing the windmill turning again soon. In other news, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports just one arrest took place Wednesday. 40-year-old Brian Jerome Lewison of Council Bluffs was arrested at around 3:45 p.m. following a traffic stop. Lewison was taken into custody for driving while license revoked. He was transported to the Pott County Jail and booked in. Iowa is preferring to notify families in early February that federal money could run out for a health insurance program that covers roughly 60,000 low-income children in the state. The Iowa Department of Human Services is also exploring options in case funding ends for the Children's Health Insurance Program, known in the state of Iowa as Hawkeye. DHS could recommend freezing enrollment, switching kids to Medicaid, or ending Hawkeye entirely. Ending the program would force families of about 44,000 children to seek other coverage or let them go uninsured. Department spokesman Matt Hyland says the DHS is still reviewing how newly approved short-term federal funding affects Hawkeye's finances. Notification to families could be delayed till March. Hyland says the department hopes that Congress will approve long-term program funding next year, making contingency plans obsolete. Well, more people have died in fire-related incidents in Iowa this year than in any year since 1993. Ron Humphrey, a special agent with the state fire marshal's office, says the tentative fire fatality count for 2017 has climbed to 53.
We've confirmed 38. I've got 15 that are still in the unconfirmed category, waiting on either autopsies or confirmation from local fire departments or other reasons why they're not confirmed, but we're probably looking about 53.
Two fires within the last week in eastern Iowa, Scott County, killed 9 people, including 4 children. 2 more people were killed in a school bus fire near Oakland on December 12th.
Tentatively, we've had about 20 fatalities since Thanksgiving, including multiple fatalities over in Bluegrass and Davenport, last week.
The fire in Davenport on December 21st killed a 23-year-old woman and her 4 children, ages 5, 4, 2, and 9 months. Investigators say their mobile home did not have a working smoke detector. According to Humphrey, more than half of Iowa's fatal fires involve homes where a working smoke detector could have potentially saved lives.
Usually there's a non-working smoke detector, or they're not present, or there's such damage that we're just not able to tell if there was a smoke detector in there working or not.
The 53 tentative fire-related deaths, fatalities in Iowa this year compares to 47 last year and 31 in 2015. This year's unconfirmed total is more than double the 26 fire deaths in 2013. And authorities have released the names of those 4 family members killed in an early Christmas morning fire in eastern Iowa. The blaze erupted a little after 12:30 a.m. Monday in Bluegrass. Scott County Sheriff's Office identified 3 of the victims as 71-year-olds Larry Luce, Sr., and Rose Luce, and their 36-year-old son, Stephen Luce. They were pronounced dead at the scene. A second son, 35-year-old Michael Luce, escaped from the house, but was later pronounced dead at a hospital. The State Fire Marshal's Division is still investigating the cause of that blaze. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.